They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Investors seem pretty confident they've got the Fed and the ECB all figured out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio. Markets across Europe are up this morning. Right now, the FT 100 in London is at 65.18. It's up 98 points, about 1.5%. And here to talk about what's causing this upswing is BBC Business correspondent Theo Leggett. Hi there, Theo.
Good morning, David.
So to what extent is this being driven by the Fed here in the US and the ECB over in Europe?
I think it's being driven by both of them, David. I mean, it's a question of relative economic strength in the United States and economic weakness here in Europe. Yesterday's minutes from the Federal Reserve indicated that rate rises in the US will come in the middle of the year or later. And the Eurozone inflation figures that we had out yesterday, well, they suggested that, in fact, the Eurozone is heading into deflation, in other words, falling prices. And, of course, there's the political uncertainty over Greece as well. We don't know what's going to happen in the elections in Greece on the 25th of January. Could try and take the country out of the euro. If that happens, it's anybody's guess what the consequences would be.
Wanted to add one more thing to the mix here, and that's oil prices. And they hit some lows earlier this week. They're up slightly today. To what extent is that driving what's happening in Europe?
Well, the oil price is a deep concern. I mean, it is a major factor in the falling prices that we're seeing here in Europe. Cheap oil, you might normally think, was a good thing. But what it seems to indicate here is that there's a lack of demand. Ironically, the markets are rallying today, and that's largely due to the idea that the European Central Bank may decide to introduce full-blown quantitative easing. We've seen it in the United States and the United Kingdom, but not in the Eurozone.
BBC Business correspondent Theo Leggett. Theo, thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure, David. Cheerio.
The U.S. Olympic Committee meets today, and it's expected to decide which American city will move forward with a bid to host the 2024 Summer Games. The finalists are Boston, Washington, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. The costs of putting on an Olympiad are substantial, so high that several cities have withdrawn bids for the 2022 Winter Games. So what's the return on an investment that big? Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
By now we know that hosting the Olympics usually means chaos, crowds, and eye-popping cost overruns. The 1976 Montreal Summer Olympics set the trend for budget busting.
The debts that the city incurred for the construction and hosting of the Olympic Games lasted something like 30 years.
That's Mark Conrad, a sports business professor at Fordham University. Since then, hosting the Olympics has gotten even more expensive. Sochi's Winter Games, which are usually the cheaper ones, broke all records at $50 billion. But some big events do boost the local economies of host cities. The 2012 Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida, is one. A study showed hundreds of millions of dollars were pumped into the economy. Infrastructure costs were lower, of course, but former Republican National Convention CEO Ken Jones says there's another reason things were good in Tampa.
Now, what goes on in that city at that time in a typical year? And if it's a slow period and you're going to fill up the city with people, that's good.
So aside from making a budget and actually sticking to it, it's also timing. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
The Labor Department releases employment data tomorrow for the month of December, and consensus among economists is unemployment will go down. The rate will go down to 5.7%. We'll see if they're right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has been covering this up again, down again job market, and he joins us now. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, David. Good to be here.
So we've gotten these monthly jobs reports that have been pretty good. A lot of jobs being added. The rate is pretty low. Can we finally declare that this is a healthy, a normal job market?
Almost, maybe, I guess is how I would say it. If this kind of growth keeps going, especially if it, you know, gets a little stronger, it will start to really look like we're not looking back to the recession and the recovery anymore. But big but, there are a few really big problems that the recession has left us with. And, you know, they may linger enough to really be called kind of permanent problems in the labor market. The first is very high long-term unemployment. It hasn't been this high since they started counting in just after World War II. Roughly one in three unemployed workers has been looking for 6 months or longer. The next problem is what we call underemployment. In particular, a lot of people are working part-time. They really want full-time hours. They simply can't get them. Susan Lambert at the University of Chicago studies this.
About 30% of people say that they would like to work more hours for more pay. And among Hispanic and African-American men, it's over 50%.
And then finally, there are millions of people who have simply dropped out of the labor force. They're just not looking. They're not working. That's one of the reasons that the unemployment rate looks so low right now.
All right, Mitchell Hartman, clairvoyant. Will we be able to say that the job market is normal and healthy by, oh, I don't know, maybe next year, by the 2016 election?
I'm not going to predict that particularly. But what I will say is one thing we should certainly be looking at is middle income, especially blue collar jobs. Andy Van Clunen is at the National Skills Coalition.
Jobs that we call middle skill jobs. Jobs that require some kind of certification past high school, but not necessarily a 4-year degree. They're jobs that can't be outsourced. And folks who have those skills are going to get decent wages.
Van Clunen points out, baby boomers have these skills. They have a lot of these jobs, and they are retiring. So over the next few years, that does look pretty promising.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Thanks, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
Finally, in California in 2012, a statewide ban on foie gras went into effect. Restaurant owners and farmers challenged it in court. And yesterday, a federal judge overturned the law banning duck and goose liver. According to the LA Times, several restaurants started serving foie gras immediately. One chef told the paper he was, quote, excited to have some culinary freedom back. Animal rights groups say they plan to appeal. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.